Take your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs, and that's where we're going to start. Proverbs chapter number 1. Earlier today, I announced that this evening I would preach a sermon called The Greatest Lessons I've Learned. The Greatest Lessons I've Learned. Proverbs chapter number 1, starting with verse number 1. Once you find it, why don't you stand with me? Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1, I'll read out loud. Please, if you will, you may follow along silently. Proverbs 1:1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Meet with us. Oh, the sermon is so, so simple. But yet, it could yield great dividend in our life, and especially in your will. Holy Spirit of God, speak to us on the inside. As my voice starts at the outside, but may they in combination do something supernatural in this place this night, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. I think you already know this, but let me tell you, church is a place to learn. It's a place to learn, which means this: come to church and plan to be teachable. I've been teaching a long time. I've taught an awful lot. I've stood in pulpits to teach, and I've stood behind a desk and taught in school at all levels. I've taught in grade school. I've taught in middle school. I've taught in high school. I've taught in college. I've taught in seminary. I've taught a lot. And I'll tell you something, it sure is sweet and pleasant when you're teaching if you find people that are teachable, if they're teachable. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take this lesson way back in my life, and I'm just going to get us started here. It's going to be just a little personal, but I can remember going off to kindergarten. I went to a kindergarten called Willard Elementary School. When I got there, I was introduced to my teacher. Her name was Mrs. Meeks. I'm a little disappointed because I'm pretty sure I was in love with her and intended on marrying her. But when I was introduced to her, my mother told Mrs. Meeks, "This is my son. We call him Jeffy." Okay, now, Dr. Jeffy to you. But they called me Jeffy. I was so excited to be in kindergarten. Now, we didn't have a pre-K-3 or a pre-K-4 back then. It was just K-5, and I went to kindergarten. We had a sandbox that we got to play in, kept the cats out of it, but we had a sandbox that we got to play in. And it was so wonderful. There was a playhouse in the kindergarten playroom. And in that playhouse, I'm talking about, it had windows, it had a telephone. And I'm talking about the old black wall phone that hung on the wall that had a long black corkscrew type of a cord on it. You all have seen some of those, right? And when it rang, it sounded like the silliest ring on your cell phone today, the one you all make fun of. That's how all the phones used to sound. We got to answer that telephone, and we had nap time. I got an A in nap. I got an A at nap time. We used to get a little carton of chocolate milk. And I think it cost a quarter, but we got a little carton of chocolate milk and a snack every day. And I remember graduating from kindergarten. I was as cute as a button back then. And as you can see, it's just gotten better and better through the years. I went from kindergarten to grade school, and I went to Willard Elementary School. At that point, I insisted that I no longer be called Jeffy. They started calling me Jeffrey, and it was all okay. One of the things I remember, don't tell my mom liked to knit. And my mom had knitted me a sweater so I would stay warm when I would walk to school. I'm going to tell you the truth. I hated that thing. It was ugly. Now, you all won't admit to it, but sometimes moms make you stuff that ought not be seen in public. Well, my mom had knitted me this sweater, and she was so proud of it. Just so you all know, And don't tell my mom. I'd wear that thing about halfway to school, and there was a set of bushes. I could rip that sweater off and cram them in the bushes, go to school unhumiliated, take it out of the bushes on the way home, put it back on, and go home. And I did that, and I did that, I admit. Our school, they had just built a new school for our elementary school. I had a teacher by the name of Mr. Chalfant. He was kind of my hero. He was also the basketball coach, and that might have had a little something to do with it. Mr. Myers was one of my teachers in grade school. You say, what can you remember about him? Well, when he would give us a reading assignment, the first thing that he would do is he would say, students, pull out your textbook, turn to such and such page, and begin to read. We'd begin to read, and the next thing you know, he would pull his fingernail clippers out. He would be sitting at his desk, and he would clip his fingernails. And you're trying to read, and you could hear the and then, after he got his fingernails all cleaned up, he would go to sleep, and he would snore till the end of class. The bell would ring. He would wake up. We would all go our separate way. That's what I remember about Mr. Myers. The principal of my grade school, get this name. His name was Mr. Henchman. Oh, did we have fun with that. And he tried to hang us every chance that he got. In grade school, I got in trouble once. I'll never forget it. A girl by the name of Debbie was sitting across from me at lunch. And I discovered a wonderful thing. If you have chocolate pudding and a straw, you can suck that chocolate pudding up into that straw, and if you blow it out slowly, it makes a chocolate-looking worm. And if you've never tried it, you need to try it. It also, in the wrong hands, can become a weapon. Debbie had a white top on, and honestly, the first shot, I did not intend to get on her top. Because I had sucked some of that chocolate pudding up into my straw, and I was blowing, and it got lodged in there a little bit. You know, I had a misfire in the chamber, and I decided I need to blow a little harder, and I did. And it got right on her top. Well, the two guys sitting beside me thought it was open season on Debbie's top. So they're, and the next thing you know, at our table, we're just blowing chocolate pudding all over the place. But it was pretty cool. And we did get to see Mr. Henchman, and it was the right name for him. I also remember we had an experiment. We were to experiment with the germination of a seed. Well, I don't think I planted mine right, and everybody else's had started to come up, and mine wasn't. But it wasn't hard at lunchtime when I was on the playground to find a stem that looked like the one I was supposed to plant and planted. And it was really funny because I came in from recess and I'd pop that thing in there and everybody else's seed was up about a quarter of an inch and mine was 6 inches above the pot. And the teacher was so proud of me. And I thought, and she didn't ask and I didn't tell. But it's hard to believe, but I did graduate from grade school. Then I went to middle school or junior high school. Then they stopped calling me Jeffrey and I insisted on being called Jeff. Of course, I was growing up. In middle school, there's a guy by the name of Mr. Wilson. He was our math teacher, and he had a paddle, and he did all the whipping. This was back when they paddled you in school if you misbehave, and the schools were in better shape back then, by the way. But Mr. Wilson had a paddle, and he named his paddle Woody. If you ever got a spanking, you got to sign the paddle. That's where I learned to write. I'll never forget it. If you were late to class, you might get sent to Mr. Wilson to get a paddling. And one day, there's this kid, he thought he was in love. You know, he's seventh grader, but he thought he was in love with this girl, and that she thought she was in love with him. And when it was time to go to class, you could watch him. His first hour class was on one end of the school, and his girlfriend's first hour class was on the other end of the school, and he would watch his watch, and he had figured out how long it took to get from one end of the school to the other, and he would run through the hallway right at the last second to race in his class door so he wasn't late for class, so he didn't have to see Mr. Wilson, and Woody would not need some graphics put on it because of a whipping that he would get. I remember this one day, and I don't know who did this. I didn't. But I watched him come racing up the hallway. And everybody got a kick out of it. But right before he got to the classroom before, some boy was waiting behind the door, flung it out into the hallway. This kid ran into it head on and knocked himself out. He's out there laying out cold in the hallway. And of course, being the good kids that we were prayed for him. Oh, the whole school erupted in laughter, and he had a big old knot on his head, and that's just the way it goes. We had a teacher in junior high called Mrs. Golf. She was our geography teacher. She looked like the great Golf. I had a teacher in that level called, his name was Mr. Chalfant, and he was the dad of my grade school coach, and we liked Mr. Chalfant. Oh, the stories. When I went to high school, now, they called me Jeff in junior high. When I went to high school, I got a nickname. They called me Big O for Owens. Now, I thought it was a compliment. Now I'm thinking I was a big zero, and I never picked up on it, but they called me Big O. But I went to our community school. We had a teacher there. His name was, we called him Little Al. Not to his face, of course, but we called him Little Al because he was 6'7". He was huge. His tie was, his tie was like 4 foot by the time you wrapped it around his neck and got it all double tied and everything. But he was one of my teachers. We had a teacher named Mrs. Huber. And you should never, I'm not trying to tell you how to act. I'm trying to tell you how God has changed my life through the years. But we had a teacher named Mrs. Huber. She looked like the Tasmanian devil off the Bugs Bunny show. And she was a case, boy. She should have been a general in the army. She was a tough bird. And then we had a teacher also that taught, I went to the public school. And we took a class. We had a class called Poe, Death, and Humor, if you can imagine, about Edgar Allan Poe. And we talked about death, and there was another element of it in humor. My teacher there, I can't even remember her name, but we called her Flipper because she had a bad leg and she pulled it along behind her. And so we called her Flipper. And believe it or not, I graduated from high school. I had started a correspondence course for Bible college, and I graduated, but I knew there was far more to learn than just through correspondence. And then I went to a Bible college, and I got a Bachelor of Arts in Bible after I'd gotten associates in Bible subjects, and then I got a Bachelor of Science in Pastoral Theology, and then I got a doctorate in a Doctor of Divinity degree, and I've had the privilege of being around education a lot. Started out in kindergarten, in love with Mrs. Meeks, and I went through the levels of school for a long, long time. I feel like I'm 54 years of age. I feel like I went to school this week. I feel like I'm still in school. I have decided something. I've decided that I don't want to stop learning. I don't want to stop learning. Learning has been a journey that I have enjoyed. You know, there's something that all of us need to face. There's a whole lot more that you need to know. Now, I said all that to say this. I just wrote down what I think are probably the most important lessons that I have learned through all these years. And I'm going to very quickly share them with you. Number one, I think one of the most important things that I've learned is this. I've not learned enough. I have not learned enough. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man increases in learning. Can I tell you all something, young people? We have some folks in here that graduated from high school this year, and congratulations. What a milestone in your life. But whatever you do, don't graduate from high school and say, I'm glad that learning stuff's over. Oh, no. We have people in here that graduated from college this year. And congratulations. What an achievement. I'm proud of you. I'm glad that you did. But be careful taking on the attitude, I'm glad I'm done learning. God, the human race is so far behind on what they need to know, and especially spiritually, you're not done learning. Some here, you've stopped learning. Hey, did you know something? I believe that when we get to heaven, heaven is going to be so wonderful, and there's going to be so much in heaven. I think we'll continue to learn throughout eternity. Amen. This book, boy, when we get to heaven, we are going to have the master teacher. And God himself is going to begin to teach us. So just keep on learning. Just because you graduated from kindergarten does not mean you're done learning. I think everybody in here that's gone on through school would say to a kindergartner, now get ready. There's a lot to learn in grade school. But just because you graduate from grade school does not mean that you're done. Oh, no. Everybody would say to a grade schooler, now get ready. You're going to go on and you're going to go to middle school. But did you know that just because you graduate from middle school does not mean you're done learning? Oh, no, you'll go on to high school. But then you'll learn. But just because you graduated from high school does not mean that you should be done learning. You go off to college. And then just because you've graduated from college does not mean you're done learning. But a lot of people almost think it stops there. Why? Because in our society, they'll say to you, I suppose that once you've finished college, your school days are over. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach that school days are over because you're now 21 or 22 years of age and you finished a four-year or a six-year or maybe an eight-year doctorate and you're finished learning. No, you're not. You're not. You know, I think that some people, I've watched leaders lose their position as leaders because they got a position and then they didn't realize there was a whole lot to learn to succeed at that position. So they stopped learning and they, because of it, they hurt themselves. Folks, come to church to learn. The people, and this is what my observation is, the people who pay the least attention are usually the ones that need the learning the most. And that is so sad. If you've ever been a teacher and you look out and you look at somebody that's just goofing off or sleeping or not paying attention and you're thinking to yourself, that's the one that needs this the most. And you say, well, I don't give good attention. Well, maybe I'm trying to tell you something. If you're not one that can give your attention well, you're probably the one that needs to give your attention the most. I was teaching a college course. I had a course that I had developed. It was called Biblical Character Traits. And it's where I taught the Bible principles about the subject of character. I wrote a book as the textbook. It's called Character, The One Thing Money Can't Buy, The One Thing You Can't Afford to Be Without. I remember a young man, he took that course, and he passed it, and he got an A. I taught the course second semester, and I looked out, and that young man was sitting in the class again. I went over to him. I said, you probably looked at your class schedule wrong. I said, you took this class last semester. I said, and you aced it. He said, I know. He said, I have some classes that I may pick some, I don't have to have credit for them necessarily. He said, I just want to take the class again. He said, I learned so much. He said, I want to take it again. I couldn't believe it. He went through the course. He passed it the second time, got an A. Next semester, there he was sitting. He took the class three times and aced it every time. I think he wanted to learn. Now, here's what we do, though. We'll take a course at anything. If we pass it, we want to put it behind us, and we don't think about that anymore. Folks, there's more to this than just getting an A. Tell me, what is an A? Who came up with that? Does an A mean you don't need to learn? Man comes up with a grading scale, and all the rest of the men say, oh, this is a great idea. God looks down and says, you knucklehead, you're supposed to keep on learning. Just because you got an A, which is something man came up with anyway, does not mean that you're done learning. Folks, when I ask myself, well, what have I learned in life? Well, one thing I have learned is that I've not learned enough. Here's what I'm finding. The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. You can take some 12-year-old and they think they know it all. Someone would say, boy, they're not really smart, are they? Here I am, 54 years of age, and there's more to life than what I ever dreamed. If you can keep an attitude of learning, you're going to go somewhere. I'll tell you what, I've never seen a learner without a place to work. I have never seen a true learner that can't find employment. There's just something about a learner. Now, a proud, boastful, stubborn, I know it all person, they may not work. And if they do, it won't be long term. Because there's an attitude that a learner brings to the table with them that is just pleasant. It's got a trustworthiness to it. And by the way, learners have a submission to them. They have a mental submission to them. So I believe the more we learn, the better our attitude is. Disgruntled critics, even in a church, usually they've stopped learning and started tearing apart what they thought they had learned. So the most important thing that I've learned is that I've not learned enough. Let me tell you another lesson of life. I ask myself, well, what's something important I've learned? What's at the top of my list? Secondly, maybe one of the most important things I've seen is that I've not seen enough. I've not seen enough. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Did you know that no matter how many times you've seen a particular verse with your eyes, you've not seen it enough? I've not seen enough. I want to see more with these eyes. And I'm talking about I want to see more of what God has to offer and more of what truly makes you a success. Hey, when you get to heaven, you'll never see all of the beauty of God. I happen to believe heaven is so wonderful. We sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I believe heaven is so incredible. After we've been there years and years and years and years and years, you're going to say, wow, today I'm going to look at the last street. I've been walking up and down these streets, and you're going to get to the end of the last street, and there's going to be somebody standing there, and you're going to say, ha, I finished it. And someone said, oh no, this is only one block. What God has created is so incredible. It's infinite. It's amazing. You see, I don't think we've seen enough. Nobody here today has seen the blessing of God enough. You need more. Hey, you say, I've seen a lot of people saved. I've not seen enough people saved. I want to see more people saved. You say, I've seen a lot of people get baptized in my day, and so have I. But I've not seen enough people get baptized. I had a pastor call me this week, and it was an encouraging call. He called me, and he said, Brother Owens, I need to know, are you going to be at your church on such and such Sunday? I said, yeah, I'll be there. The only time I'm gone from my church on a Sunday or a Wednesday is if I'm personally on vacation. He said, good. He said, I pastor a church here in this state. And he said, I just, you know what? I want to be at your church, and I just want to see what I've been hearing when I listen to you preach. He said, I want to see it. I want to see it. He said, I want to see them all say amen. Good. And I want to see that spirit and that unique, pleasant atmosphere. He said, you can sense it when you hear it on the internet. You can sense it when you're listening on a CD. He said, but I told my wife, I'm done getting it secondhand. I want to go and I want to see what's happening. I want to see God work more. I want to see God's power in a greater way. I want to see the mercy of God applied to lives in a greater way. I want to see more people get loving and more people get forgiveness and more people get the truth. I want to see God save more souls, and I want to see God change more lives. Matter of fact, I want one of them to be mine. I want to see God working in my life. I hope you want to see more. You know something? I want to see more buses. I want to see more Sunday school classes. I want to see more children reached in King's Kids and more children influenced in the Flyers Club. And I want to see Youth Ablaze grow. And I want to see the parking lot packed fuller and fuller and the pews packed more and more. Now you're not saying amen anymore, but it's okay. I want to see the chairs packed out. I want to see a traffic jam out on the street. You say, is that possible? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I've seen churches where God gets involved and they've got police officers everywhere directing traffic. Hey, and we're not talking about going down to the bar for a rock concert. Now we're talking about Jesus getting involved in a ministry. And you know something? There's some things that I've learned. I've learned that I've not learned enough, and I want to keep on learning and I want to keep on growing. And then I think I've learned that I've not seen enough. I want to see more of God, and I want to see God work more in my life and in your life. I want to see more. And I got to thinking, I don't think I've heard enough. I ask myself, what are the lessons that are most important? Well, I think it's an important lesson that I've not learned enough. I think another lesson is, it's an important lesson that I've just not seen enough. Then an important lesson is, I just don't think I've heard enough. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "I have not seen nor ear heard." You know, folks, no matter how many times you've heard a particular verse quoted, you've not heard it enough. You've not heard it enough. How could we ever hear enough of God's eternal word? Life-changing word, powerful word, perfect word. We've not heard enough. No matter how many times you've heard a particular truth taught, you need to hear it some more. Hey, did you know God repeats himself in the Bible on purpose? You say, I go down to the church, I just hear some of the same old thing. You know something, you need some of the same old thing. And God's not writing any new books. And so we're going to have to keep on preaching some of the same old things. But you've not heard enough. I don't care how many times you've heard a song about the blood of Jesus Christ. You've not heard enough songs about what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I don't care how many times you've heard Amazing Grace. You need to hear it sung again. You need to hear it sung again. I don't care how many times you've heard about heaven and the pearly gates and the golden streets and no sin there. I don't care how many times you've heard songs about heaven. You've not heard them enough. I don't care how many times you've heard songs about the love of God or about salvation. You've not heard enough of those songs that where we say, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life." We've not heard enough. I've not learned enough. We've not seen enough. I've not heard enough. You know what? Just one more. I love to hear the story of Jesus. Matter of fact, I love to hear the story of Jesus and about the glory of God. Tell them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. I'm saved and I've heard the gospel presentation thousands of times. I have presented the gospel thousands of times. I still thrill to be standing by someone on a street corner when my soul winning partner says, "If you died today, would you go to heaven?" And I watch that lost person's heart open up. And I'm excited. I'm thinking, get to point number two. Get to point number two. Ask them if they're saved and then tell them they're a sinner and then tell them that there's a penalty for sin. I am fit to be tied. I want to jump in. I have to be careful. I am one antsy silent partner. Because when they're presenting the gospel, I'm thinking, come on, let's get this thing done. Let's reel him in. Sink the hook. Bring him in the boat. I love it. I have heard the gospel presented over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know something? I want to hear it again. I want to hear it again. Hey, none of us have heard enough preaching on soul winning. None of us have heard enough preaching on prayer. None of us have heard enough about the need to read our Bibles or to tell the truth or to give as we're to give or to live a pure life. None of us have heard enough on the preaching in regard to loving our enemies or loyalty to God and God's Word or the importance of church attendance or respecting our elders or hating sin. We've not heard enough. If you're like me, I've not learned enough. I've not seen enough. I've not heard enough. None of us have heard enough to keep our faith strong from here on out. We need a daily dose of the Word of God, and we need to hear the right things because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. D.L. Moody was preaching a revival. He was preaching from John 3:16, and he preached the first night a sermon on the love of God. He got up and preached the second night a sermon on the love of God. He got up the third night and preached a sermon from John 3:16 on the love of God. A 2-week revival. Every night he preached from John 3:16. Someone said to him, "Mr. Moody, I think we've heard enough of that." And Moody said, "You'll never hear enough of John 3:16. You'll never see the depth of the truth of for God so loved the world." Oh my, we've not heard enough. Folks, if you stop listening to the right kind of preaching today, you'd probably stop believing your Bible in a year. Never get tired of hearing about Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. Well, I just ask myself, what are the most important things I've learned? Well, I've learned I've not seen enough. I've learned that I have not learned enough. I learned that I've not heard enough. You know something? If you would grasp those three things, keep learning, keep looking, keep listening, Then there's a fourth lesson I could throw in here. Then you'd realize you've not accomplished enough. We've not accomplished enough. In John 14:12, Jesus told them, greater works than me will you do. You say, how in the world will we do greater works than Jesus? He was only on the scene with a public ministry for 3.5 years. I've been preaching for over 35 years myself. I think he's expecting something out of us. If you'll look to God and say, God, teach me more, show me more, tell me more, then God will say, you know what? I think I could use you more. I think I could use you more. See, you're more usable the more you learn, the more you want to see, the more you want to hear. Folks, so you all know, nobody has or ever will in this life be able to honestly say, I've paid my dues. See, I've been at it a long time, preacher. I've paid my dues. I'm sorry. You can pay your dues down at Little League. And you might pay your dues at Sam's Club. But when it comes to the salvation of your soul and what God's done for you, you've not paid your dues. Don't look at what you've accomplished and be satisfied. That was accomplished with the things that you learned yesterday. What does God want you to accomplish with what you're learning now? Look at what God could do with you if you'll learn more and hear more and see more and want to see more. You know, there are people who choose to stop learning. It's a sad thing. Have you ever watched someone that just decided they're going to stop learning? You've got somebody with an 18-year-old mind and a 60-year-old body. That's a sad thing. And so you know your life will be boring, be drab, you'll be unproductive, you won't have goals, you won't have dreams, you won't have desires. Wouldn't it be a sight if Dr. Jeff Owens decided to stop learning in kindergarten? I'd have my secretary bringing me a carton of milk and a snack to my desk. There he is. Stop learning in kindergarten, and that's my boss right there. He's going to go play in the sandbox here in a few minutes. You'd say, that's silly. Well, I know some Christians that get saved, learn a little bit, and then just put the Bible aside, put church aside, stop learning. Boy, if it had been in elementary school that I stopped learning, I would be at every one of our church fellowships starting pudding fights with my straw. And it doesn't sound like a bad idea, honestly. Look, you young people, you're going to be parents someday. You're going to be married someday. You're going to be teachers someday. You're going to be preachers someday. You're going to be business owners someday. Let me tell you something. You better learn. Learn and learn and learn. God gave you a mind and want it to grow and want more and learn more. You know, God is not looking for someone who knows it all, but He's looking for someone that would like to learn it all. He'd just like to find somebody that wants to keep on learning. Folks, we've not done enough. I hope my greatest years are ahead of me. I really believe the greatest years of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church are in the future. My hair's getting gray. I'm not 30 years of age, and there are people, you'll see a picture of me when I was 30, and my hair was all black, and you look at a picture of me today, and it's only my eyes that are black now. It's the hair's gray. You know, physically, I don't know what happens as we grow older. I think I do have somewhat of an idea, but I can tell you this, mentally and spiritually, I believe if we'll keep listening and if we'll keep learning and if we'll have a hunger and a desire that God can take that and He can do bigger and better and greater things in our lives. Listen, everybody here, the greatest lessons I think I've learned is that I've not learned enough. I've not seen everything I want to see. I've not heard everything that I want to hear. I want to take those three and I want to keep on going. And then I'm just hoping as a result of it, God will allow me to accomplish more. Because I don't feel like I've accomplished what God placed me here to accomplish yet. I just can't wait to see what God's going to do in the next 20 years. I'm just excited. You say, with what? With what I'm learning. With what I'm seeing. With what I'm hearing. Hey, look, I think God has something for you. learn the valuable lessons of life. Somebody said, "I'm a preacher, probably going to tell us how to make money tonight. Most valuable lesson in life." Oh no, there's something far more valuable than that. Anybody can make money. The lost do that. Drug dealers do that. Oh, something more valuable. Let's take what God's given us. And let's expand on it. I started with these verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. God is telling us, grow. Keep receiving good things into your life. Keep growing. There's some of you, your life is boring. I want to tell you why. You stop growing. You're bored with your life. And that's because you're not reaching out and moving forward. You're not growing yourself in God's will. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Someone here tonight, I hope you'll reignite your desire to learn. So I've been studying the Bible for a long time. Well, I'm glad that you have, but there is so much more to learn. You say, "I've got all sorts of degrees." Don't let that stop you from learning. Don't let that stop you. Let's keep moving forward. Let's learn the Bible. Let's want to hear more of it. Let's want to see God work more. Who here tonight would say, "Tucked in the sermon, God has spoken to my heart tonight." And you would let God see that by the uplifted hand. You say, "God's spoken to my heart tonight. I see something that God wants to work in my life." You may put your hand down. If you need the altar for a moment, you come. If you're not saved, come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you are saved and you say, I just need to reignite my growth. Growth as a dad or as a mom or as a Christian. I need to learn. Maybe you need a moment at the altar tonight. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar for a moment? And again, I'll tell you, I've never seen a learner, someone that is hungry to grow, hungry to go forward. I've never seen an unemployed one. They get a job sooner or later. They'll get work sooner or later. They'll be wanted. They'll have something to do sooner or later. Every boss on the face of this earth would love to have that quality in their employees. Not only do you want a hard worker and somebody with character, you want somebody willing to learn. Somebody that wants to see things accomplished and wants to listen to what creates success. Somebody that wants to learn what it takes to go forward. And if you keep that attitude, teach me more, tell me more, show me more, you'll do more, you'll accomplish more. I have watched preachers limit themselves because they learned what they wanted to learn. Now they're going to grow their church off of what little knowledge they have. And I'm not talking about going to the liberals or some wackos on television to get learning. I'm talking about the old time way, but you continue to learn how to build people and build the church. If a preacher will keep doing that, he's going to reach more people. I really believe that. The greatest lessons of my life is I've not learned enough lessons. I've not learned enough, I've not seen enough, I've not heard enough, and I dead sure haven't accomplished enough. If you've retired yourself to the pew, shake yourself and decide, "I'm not retiring. I'm going to keep on going forward. I'm going to grow, I'm going to learn, I'm going to accomplish more." This is the last time through the song. We'll pray and be on our way.